Welcome to Real Talk Christian Podcast, where we drink coffee and have real conversations on faith, culture, and society. This is Mark Hyde.
And Chris Fuller.
And today, we are starting a new series on the podcast.
We are.
Big, bad Christian words that you probably should know. On the podcast, we use a lot of big Christianese words, and we figured, you know what? Let's just talk about them here on the podcast. Figure out what they mean, where they come from, and what we should do about it. Sounds good, Fuller?
Sounds good.
Ready to go?
Let's go!
Let's go!
Big bad words?
Big bad Christian words, baby.
Big bad?
That's just.
Are they bad though?
They're bad in like.
Are they just big?
No. They're bad in the 2000 sense bad. Like that's he's a bad mamma jamba. You bad dude.
He's a bad mamma jamba.
Bad mamma jamba right there. In case you are Gen Z or old and don't know, bad actually means good.
And good actually means great.
Welcome to the party, folks.
Anyways, what are we drinking today,
dude,
Mr. Mark?
I'm actually really excited about this one. This was good.
This is a good.
Now, I didn't have my creamer because this is the first time we've recorded in over 2 months, guys.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So it's a little bit different.
It is.
But we are drinking Tekoa Ethiopian.
Ethiopian, yes.
Which I had lunch with our worship pastor today, and he said he was listening to one of our episodes, and I mentioned how much I love African blends, and so he went to some coffee shop and they had different options you can get, and he goes, Mark really likes African, so let me try that. And it was Kenyan, and he's like, dude, it was good.
Africa. Wasn't that Toto that did that song?
And then everyone else in the world. Right. But yes, Toto did Africa.
Yeah, Africa.
So he tried Kenyan coffee because of how much we love Ethiopia, or how much I love Ethiopia. But I will admit, I've stopped drinking a lot of African coffees, and I've been doing a lot of light Central American roast.
You into my world now. But
yeah, you got me, bro.
You know, we're in the season right now of kind of diving right into
I'm going deep.
Anyways, so
it's been 2 months, guys.
I'm going to go ahead and read this review now. We can dive into the conversation.
Love it.
Because we have a lot of content to get through.
We do got a lot of content.
In 30 minutes.
Here we go.
It's Real Conversation to Ponder by David Bejorge. Bejorge. I'm going with it.
Bejorge.
I have been listening to their podcast for about a month after discovering them. The question and conversations they have are great because they are in-depth, tie back to the gospel and the word of God. Plus, they have responded well on Instagram to a few questions that I've asked.
Hey,
Mark.
I try.
Even my parents have enjoyed hearing the conversation that they hear while I'm playing it loud. I would say that it has helped also deepen my faith in God. Well, David Bejorge, you know us. We do hand out, if you're in the States, mini swag bags. So if you're in the States,
but I gotta make sure you do that caveat. And sorry, Sabrina, you don't get nothing. David. Oh, it's this David.
David.
Oh, I think we actually read his review once because he messaged me saying we've already read his review.
What?
Because I've been messaging him back and forth. And
did you read it? No, because I'm going in order.
No,
man.
But look it. See, and he already has it went available. He already got his mini swag bag.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, there you go. Never mind, David. You don't get a second one.
But I owe David a text from like 3 weeks ago. So my bad, boss. But guys, just like what David said, dude, we want to hang out with you guys because part of the podcast is not just us talking on the podcast. We want to engage with you. So head over to the Facebook group, or if you have more questions or concerns, you can bring those concerns to us too. But we want to keep the conversation, the community going over there. Like, you know, our girl Ellie, who apparently has been listening since episode 38 and just commented for the first time yesterday.
That's right.
Well, I mean, now it's like but April 12th.
Yeah, April 12th.
Ellie, you commented, and now we shouted your name out. So now you have to comment more.
And was like, oh my goodness, you both responded. And then really, yeah, I mean, it's still weird.
It's still weird.
Anyways.
Guys. It's weird.
So
it's
really today, weird. We're talking about big words. Yep. Two big words in particular.
And I actually, fun fact, had them separated. Last night, I'm like, let's just do justification. But the more I was thinking about it and I was reading and I was studying, everyone puts these two words together.
They
kind of go hand in hand.
They are the same, are different sides of the same coin.
Exactly. And so I'm like, you know what? For this conversation, we could go really deep into one, but we would just bring the other one into the conversation and be like, it's justification is this, not sanctification.
And we've touched on these two words many, many times throughout the podcast history. But we've never really dedicated a whole episode.
I don't think so. We've explained it a lot because I know there's in terms of how do faith and works work together. So we've brought them into conversation.
Right.
We never had a dedicated one for that.
Right.
But you know, when you read the one passage where it's like, what's that? The passage in Ephesians where it's like, you were called. And then it's and whom he also called, he also then
preordained,
and then also glorified.
Ephesians 4.
I don't remember.
Ephesians. See, this is why I like the dual screen here.
Let's say we had a new setup, guys. So when I'm looking at the screen right there, you can see my eyes move on.
That's unity and diversity. YouTube.
Nope, that's no.
I think it was 4.
I would say whom he also called, he also glorified. And so basically, like, there's one passage, and we were reading this in church, and it was talking about all these different big words in one big foul swoop. Watch me have this in here later down the line. And I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of big words that Christians use throughout all of history that we just throw around. And I know a lot of our listener base, and this is where some of our conversation comes from, is a lot of you guys who have reached out to us are, you're new to the faith, or you're just re-engaging with your faith, and you're trying to figure out just how it all works. And the last thing I want you guys to do is, honestly, let's just be honest, fall behind. Or that
Romans 8:30.
And those he did predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified.
Romans.
And so that's Romans 8. I think I actually have that verse. Let's see. Nope, I left that verse out. So good. But either way, so there's a lot of big Christian words out there. Like, I have some of the lists, like, right here, where, like, you know, big words like salvation, redemption, justification, sanctification, purification, glorification, and election. And these are words that, you know, folks might know, but then there's some other more obscure words that right. you might hear us say once in a while that people might not really know the definition or where they come from. Words such as propitiation, substitutionary atonement, imputed righteousness versus impartial righteousness. And I think it's good to go through these words because there is actual ramification for how you actually live your everyday life based on how you actually understand these terms. So then the question is why should we go through these terms? And I kind of already touched on some of them, but I have three reasons why we should go through these. Number one, the Bible uses these terms.
True.
And if the Bible talks about it, we probably should know what it is.
True.
Number two, these terms have actually been used throughout church history as a way to understand how faith and salvation work together. And then the third way, which I think is actually more a good reason for us to go through it, is it helps us understand our faith more in order to articulate it to those who don't know the faith. So today we're going to talk about sanctification versus justification. So before we jump in, I first want to define what the terms are, because again, we don't have a whole lot of time on this episode. So I'm going to define what the terms are. We're going to see where we find those actually in the Bible. And then we're going to have a little bit of conversation around how we actually play those out in our everyday life.
Straight up,
you
pastor style.
And we're
going
to try to do this in 20 minutes. So here we go. All right. So I got justification's definition from the Easton Bible Dictionary, and sanctification I got from the Lexham Bible Dictionary. So justification is to make sure I don't mess it up. Ooh, it's up there on the screen too. Okay.
You like that, don't you?
It is, but it's kind of hard to read. So I'm going to read on my little iPad. So justification is a forensic term opposed to condemnation. As in regards to its nature, it is the judicial act of God by which he pardons all of the sins of those who believe in Christ and accounts, accepts, and treats them as righteous in the eye of the law. In other words, as conformed to all of the law's demands. In addition to the pardon of sin, justification declares that all the claims of the law are satisfied in respect of the justified. It is an act of a judge and not of a sovereign. The law is not relaxed or set aside, but it is declared to be fulfilled in the strictest sense. And so the person justified is declared to be entitled to all the advantages and rewards arising from perfect obedience to the law. Justification is not the forgiveness of a man without righteousness, but a declaration that he possesses a righteousness which perfectly and forever satisfies the law, namely Christ's righteousness. So justification is the fact of, we know you don't deserve this, but we're going to treat you just as if everything has ever been fulfilled totally then. And so it's like, if someone is justified in their actions, it's the fact of, it is what it is. But anyway, that's justification, is even though someone is, like, they have sinned and they are sinners, God, because of Jesus's sacrifice, views them as if they never sinned in the first place. Right. That's justification. Whereas with sanctification, it refers broadly to the concept of being set apart as sacred. In Genesis 2:3, God sanctified the seventh day, which means he set it apart as sacred. In Leviticus, Yahweh tells the entire people of Israel to maintain being sanctified, to maintain being set apart as sacred. This aspect of the concept of sanctification is closely related to holiness and biblical regulations for maintaining purity. The New Testament similarly reflects the idea that the followers of Christ have been sanctified or set apart as a result of Christ's holiness. This idea that Christians have been made holy before God through their faith in Christ is related to justification. Hence why we're doing both those terms today. Mm-hmm. In Christian theology, a distinction is sometimes made between justification and sanctification, where justification refers to having saving faith, and sanctification refers to the process of gradual purification from sin and progressive spiritual growth that should mark the life of a believer. This doctrine of sanctification draws on the New Testament passages that emphasize a move towards holy and righteous living that characterize following faith, following Christ in faith. So before we move on, Fuller, I want to know, do we like those definitions? Or do you want to dive into those a little bit?
Well, so I just want to recap it in simpler terms.
But I say, because those are a lot of big terms for big words.
Yeah, for trying to simplify it. But so justification, can we justify ourselves, Mark?
No.
No.
And it says that someone has to justify you.
You have to be justified.
Yes.
Which is being saved through, right? Being saved by grace is what we see.
What's that old thing where it's like justifies, like just as if I never did or something like that? Isn't like there's like a little tongue in cheek thing that I learned when I was younger that I remember.
I don't know. I was Pentecostally raised.
No, but keep going.
Tongues we got, but not cheeks.
Oh, that's good. Sorry. Yeah. Where's your rim? Do you have a rim shot? You need a rim shot in your stream deck.
Nope. That's what I got. That's close enough. That's a drum roll. Anyways, so sanctification, I liked what it said here where it's, I got to go find it again, is the gradual purification from sin and progressive spiritual growth that should mark the life of every believer. Now, the question is, can we be sanctified on our own?
I think there's a bit of a twofold process.
Yeah,
because sanctification requires us to
a willful heart, right?
And requires us to live the way of obedience.
Willful heart, obedience through the leading of Christ.
Now, but the sanctification also is a work of the Holy Spirit as well. But we have to choose to continue to walk.
Right, but
walk in the way
as the Holy Spirit reveals, we grow.
Right.
So that's the hand in hand, right? That's where we work with the Holy Spirit in that growth process, in that progressive spiritual growth. Yes and no.
So let's keep diving in. We won't jump into the verses yet. We'll do questions now, guys.
Whoa.
So here's kind of my thought is, you know, a lot of people get tripped up in their Christian walk of the difference between sanctification and justification, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so I guess my question would be is, how do we keep these things separate in our minds? We're like I'm thinking of some people that have messaged me inside the RTC Facebook.
Sure.
Like, man, I'm trying, but I feel like I always screw up. I always fall. Like I don't even feel like I'm a Christian anymore. Am I even a Christian? Which kind of results in the fact of if we can't justify ourselves, could we ever fall out of justification where all of a sudden like a judge may... Let's say a judge justified you, but then you went and still got messed up.
When were we justified?
When you first believed?
No. When were we justified? When did the justification process happen?
You mean like Jesus on the cross?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So
Christ paid for sins once and for all.
Right. In Adam, all have sinned, but in Christ, all are made alive.
Correct.
Right.
So that justification, which we have no part in, right? We don't have a part because we have to be justified according to the definition, right?
Right.
Somebody else has to do that for us. So that process was done at the cross. Plain simple. Now, there's a requirement to having that justification applied to us.
Right.
Which is believe in your mouth. Or believe in
your heart that Christ Jesus.
Yeah,
Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Lord Jesus and you will be saved.
Right.
Which is Romans 10.
So, yeah, 10:23?
10, 8 through 10.
Okay. Sure.
It's technically 10.
I think it's 6:23, and that's so 3:23
is all. For all sin to fall short of the glory of God.
That's 3:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Yeah, I'm thinking Romans Road here.
Come on, preach it.
So that's really where it comes down to the brass tacks, right? That's where the rubber meets the road. The proof is in the pudding.
There you go. Proof is in the pudding. No, the proof is in the pudding.
Is
put
that
money where your mouth is.
Right? Is that Christ has paid for sin once and for all, and we have a part to do of just accepting and believing, right? Accepting that Christ paid the sin debt, right?
Yep.
And receiving that sin debt, receiving that justification, and proclaiming him to be Lord of all. That's all we got to do. So You do that in your heart, right? It says believe in your heart, not with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It says confess with your mouth.
Confess your, because you have to actually physically say the words.
Not
of,
confess in your heart, but confess with your mouth.
But believe in your heart.
Not believe with your mouth, but believe with your heart.
That Christ Jesus is Lord and raised
so
from the dead.
So understand the difference in that. Because just because you do lip service saying, yeah, I believe with my mouth, like, Lord, yeah, I believe you. That's believing with your mouth, not with your heart. You got to believe in your heart, and you got to confess with your mouth.
And I think that's what people get scared about, is the fact of, you know, the question going back to, did I ever commit the unpardonable sin? Same sure. idea, where it's like, what if I'm only confessing with my mouth and not believing my heart? Because there's that passage
I would say,
Jesus says, like, you know, we did miracles in your name, and he goes, peace out, I never knew you.
I would
like,
say if you're worried woo. About it, it probably means you're his. If you're truly that concerned about it, if it bothers you, that's a good sign, right? Because you should be. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you of whatever sin you think you committed that made that, right? So you should confess that sin, right? Because he's just to forgive us of our sins.
Mm-hmm. And faithful to cleanse us right. from all unrighteousness.
100%.
And I think this is where some of the conversation and confusion comes in, specifically with other denominations. And this is where the big conversations with Calvinism and Arminianism do come in, with this conversation of, could you ever lose your stance with God?
Well, so I'm going to break this down real simple terms. And it's not the perfect parable, but I think it explains the in basic terms we understand. Okay. Justification, sanctification. Justification is the act of a baby being born, right? We were born.
Right.
We had no part in the being born.
Nope, we just showed up.
We just showed up, right? Sanctification is the growth.
Right.
Right? That's the baby growing to adulthood. We have natural growth. We go to school, we learn, so there's some growth that we do, but there's also people teaching us to help us in that growth process.
And there's also the level of, you got to want it too.
Correct. So yeah. So like, say you wanted to, I don't know, be a podcaster. You got to put time and effort into it, right?
You got to put the grind in.
As you grow and as you understand and as you study, you get better and better and better. And then eventually you're Joe Rogan. I don't know. Probably that's a terrible example.
That's not the goal.
That's not the goal. But that's, you know, in simple terms, that's what sanctification is. It's that growth process that is partially natural, partially you. And I say natural because as you become a Christian, you put away those sinful things. You set your mind on the things pure of God, and that's what you focus on. That's kind of the natural. And then, but you also try, right? That's our studying the word and praying. And then people help you. That's your pastors, your elders, your overseers, your tribe, God, the Holy Spirit, using those people, your church. That's that helping you through that growth process as well, I think, in the natural terms of things. And so I guess that's my parable. That's how I would explain justification and sanctification in the very basic terms.
I like it. So let me read a couple passages of scripture here. So that way we at least get the scripture involved just our thoughts. So I have two passages. There was lots of them, guys, but I brought two passages in primarily for justification, two primarily for sanctification.
Sure.
And then there's some more questions coming on the back end of that. So Colossians 2 verses 13 through 14 says this, and we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive and forgave us all of our trespasses. He erased the certificate of death with its obligation. So he didn't just erase death.
Right.
He erased what was required to no longer be dead.
Yep.
And that with its obligations, that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. So that's kind of what you were talking about earlier, where when did justification actually happen?
At the cross.
Happen at the cross.
Through Jesus.
Now, this is where Protestants and Catholics do part ways, because we will agree with that statement. But then the question is the fact of, okay, so does that then just apply to you, like, internally, and it's imparted into us, that justification and sanctification process? Or do we just get, this is where imparted versus imputed, different episode,
keep
in tight, where we put on Jesus, and so our inner man is still sinful, but when Jesus, or when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us as perfect, he looks at Jesus as perfect.
Well, I think Paul makes the case for us, though.
Okay, lean into it.
I think it's Romans 6, I'm terrible, but Romans 6,
it's
I think.
It's been a bit.
Right? 6 or 7. Yeah, 6 or 7, where it talks about the things that I don't want to do, I do, and the things that I do want to do, I don't do, that struggle with the inner man. He talks about that all the time, and fighting off the evils of the flesh. That's the inner man. So I think when God looks at us, right, it's not us that he's looking at. It's Christ putting his shawl or his covering or his whatever you want to call it over us, right? And it's Christ standing in the stead, in the visual of God being our advocate, saying, no, I've paid this debt. They're okay.
Yeah, so let's keep reading and go into that a little bit. So Romans 3, 21 through 26 says very much similar to what you said. It says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented him as the mercy seat, him being Jesus. God presented Jesus as the mercy seat by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed, leaning back into Passover.
Yep.
God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so that way he would be just and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. So how do we get justified? You have faith in Jesus.
There you go.
That's where the justification process, which honestly seems so ridiculous that it's that easy. I think that's where there's a lot of, like, for folks who are either looking on the outside, they're trying to figure out Christianity, you know, all other religions, you're trying to go to God.
You got to earn
it. In Christianity, God came to us, and you just have to literally and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. Like, that's it. That's all you got to do.
Pretty easy.
Faith in Jesus, that's very easy. But then that's when
it's got to be true faith. Again, faith from the heart, the believing of the heart.
And I do have a question that I think would be a fun conversation where it says, could someone be justified yet have no fruits to prove it? And that's where, so let's not go yet. Let's not go there yet, even though it's 21 minutes. So
we got to close this in 8 minutes. Let's go. Here we go.
1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, don't you know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Philippians 2, 12 through 16 says, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works both in you to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that way you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world by holding firm to the word of life.
Mic drop.
And so when you look at that, you know, we do see the separation between justification and sanctification.
Yep.
And in sanctification, and you know, we have another conversation coming up, guys. So I know you're like, we haven't done a whole lot with sanctification. We have an episode coming up actually here in just a little bit. Are we doing it next week where we talk about prayer and action, how those works?
2 weeks,
and,
yes.
And sign every other week. Sorry, guys. But we do have some other conversations coming up where we will talk more about faith and works and go back into the archives because we have a lot about faith and works as well. But I think this is the big part of this conversation is who does the justifying, who does the sanctification, and could someone say they're justified without doing the good works, and can someone do the good works without being justified?
I think in justification, right, the justification is done by Christ, but it's also that believing and confessing, right? That's the first step. And
this is where it gets weird. Is that a work to gain your salvation, so it's or not, is like that's like the
It's not really a work as so much as it is as a submission.
A submission or realization of what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a submission of like it's not a work. It's just like okay, you're God.
Like
you're God. It's just that I'm admitting it. You're God.
That'd be the greatest salvation decision. Can you just be like, bruh?
Can you be justified and not show fruit? So this one's a little bit harder to paint a brushstroke on because it depends on the person and the heart. And no man could judge the heart save God.
Correct. Right?
So,
but you can judge
by the fruit.
A tree by its fruit.
So I would say if you claim to be, can you be justified and not sanctified? I think part of the justification is that change. Mm-hmm. It's an immediate change of realizing what God has done for you.
Which we didn't bring those verses in, the old man versus the new.
Right. So there's that change in you that happens where your desires change of I'm no longer going to live for me, I'm going to live for God, which produces a change in you. So I would say to have no fruit, I would seriously, if I was the person that says I'm saved or justified, but not producing fruit, I would really look at my heart and am I being honest or am I believing with my mouth and confessing with my heart kind of thing? Like, oh yeah, I'm a sinner and God, you're real, but not really believing it. And so I would seriously consider that if I were in those shoes. But again, I think it really depends on the person where they're at, because we can judge by the fruit, but we may not always see the fruit either. So there's a fine line. I think of Galatians 6:1. If you find a brother in sin, those of you who are righteous, go to him and be gentle and loving and bringing him back into the fold, so that ye yourselves may not fall into the same temptation. Mm-hmm. So just jumping in and judging because you don't see fruit is not always necessarily the best thing either, because in that yourself, you may fall into the same temptation or sin. So I think it's really important to be, what's that scripture? Be wise as serpents and as harmless as
gentle
doves.
Gentle as doves.
Yep. And so, and that's really what you gotta keep your mind's focus on during those types of conversations with people, I think.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at past podcast episodes of, you know, different conversations we've had. We've had one where, like, can I lose my salvation? Which goes into this conversation. That's episode 163, and I believe 164 would be part two. And we have a lot of other different conversations too, like how to grow closer to God, how do I know I'm a Christian, how do you deal with deconstruction, all that kind of stuff. Yep. But, you know, I remember this quote, and I feel like I bring it up quite a bit, the Bonhoeffer quote, where it's only, oh crap, now I'm going to embarrass myself by not getting it right. Only the believers obey, and only the obedient believe. And it kind of goes hand in hand with the fact of, if you say you are this, you will do this.
Right.
And if you do this, it's a proof in the pudding that you believe that what you do.
If I say I love Notre Dame, but never watch Notre Dame, do you love Notre Dame?
No. You could be a cultural. If you live in South Bend, you're a cultural Notre Dame fan, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
If you're not a real fan.
Right, but do you love Notre Dame? Like, are you a fan? Like, you know what I mean? And so, I guess that's...
Or are you following, you know, peanut butter and jelly time? Or are you following that Sam Hartman going to the NFL? You see Xavier Watts coming back.
Right.
So that's Xavier Watts.
Or are you just Xavier, like, yeah, I watch the football games and I'm good with that. And like, the kind of midline road, you know? Maybe not a lot of fruits, but a little fruit, you know? And I guess that's the worldly way of putting that into more of a realistic visual of what that looks
and,
like.
And, you know, so when it comes back to us, though, you know, what does this conversation mean for us in the everyday? You know, I feel like there's so many people who get so scared about, am I a Christian or not? And we put our salvation in our own hands versus put it in God's hands.
Right.
And put it in Jesus' hands and put in not what we do, but what Jesus has done.
Yep.
Not what we do, right, but what Jesus has done. That's what justifies us. But yep, then there's the sanctification process where we grow in all things in godliness. What's that verse where...
And you can't have one with the other.
Add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue this. It's like add to your faith all these different things. And it's the fact of, it's a growth, it's a journey, it's a process. You know, like so many people think faith is an end destination, but I really think it is a journey. Like, you know, it's a journey from, sure, you go from death to life, but then what does it mean to walk in newness of life?
Right.
And, you know, I think a lot of people do get really scared with the fact of, if you can save yourself, you can also unsave yourself. Mm. If you walk into the faith, you can walk out of the faith. And there are some verses in the Bible that seem to talk about that, where Jesus says, if you deny me, I'm denying you, bro.
Yep.
Which is like, wait, what?
But that's because they don't spend time with the Father.
Right. Or you would never deny Jesus if you really were with him.
Right. Right.
Which makes the question about Peter at the end, where it's like, was Peter really with Jesus at that point? Or was that the kick in the butt homeboy needed and actually to go and do it?
Yeah.
And so that's where I think a lot of people do have that struggle.
You know, was he on the mountaintop
top,
and now he's in the valley.
Anyway, so, and then you get restored back to your faith. But again, that doesn't change your justification process. That's the sanctification process. And then the last question that some people might ask is, I know we got to wrap this up, is could you ever become so perfectly sanctified that you never sin anymore? Because there are some traditions that believe that.
Yes,
Methodism is one.
Yes.
Wesleyan's the one.
Yes, you can, but not on this side of heaven. So,
when you did.
So, yeah.
When you did. And that's the thing is sanctification is an ongoing process to be continually set apart. So going back to the definitions, you know, justification is a judicial term. It is an act of God declaring you as if you have never sinned, right? That's what justification is. Whereas sanctification is the part of being set apart and sacred. And I do want to end one more time with this last little part of the verse in Philippians 2, verse 15 and 16, where it says, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that way you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world by holding firm to the word of life.
time for
Fun Facts with Fiddler.
All right, my dude. We almost got under 30 minutes.
Almost.
So close. But, bro, what fun fact do you got for us today?
So I can't remember if I've done this fun fact, but I asked Janine and she didn't remember. So I said, all right, we're going with it.
I know this one. So I do know this one.
This one's an interesting one, right? So did you know, well, you do, but did you know, listeners, that chainsaws were first invented for childbirth?
Bum, bum, bum.
It was developed in Scotland in the late 18th century to help aid and speed up the process of symphysotomy, widening the area cartilage down there, and removing a removal of a disease-laden bone during childbirth. It wasn't until the start of the 20th century that we started using chainsaws for chopping wood.
That's
kind of scary.
Well, especially since, like, I mean, Beth has had a C-section. Jamil's had a C-section. Could you imagine, dude? Okay, with as traumatic as, like, the C-sections were that you had to go through with Jamil and the one that Beth had to, all of a sudden you hear, it's like, what you about to do with that, well, boss?
And you know, there wasn't anesthesia back then. Like, they weren't putting you under for that. Like, it was just like,
we are a bunch of weak
yes.
people
yes.
nowadays.
Yes, we are.
I don't know how to segue out. Normally,
but you
I'm
know
really
what else we're weak at? Segwigs. And so we're going to just jump right in.
that was brilliant. But hey, just like always, guys, we want to continue the conversations. I have more questions from this episode. We'll be posting in the Facebook group. Let's keep the conversation going over there. If you are not part of the Facebook group, just look it up, RTC Online Community. Or if you like us on Facebook, there's a link right from there as well. Find us on the other social media channels, which we're not crazy active on. We're mainly active in the Facebook group. So make sure you check us out over there.
And if you haven't already, wow, I'm so out of practice.
You got it.
Go to YouTube and hit that subscribe button and that bell notification.
Hey.
So when we're on random times, like him sometimes, you'll know.
Which I have gone live. I have gone live a couple times. And if you want to, you know, maybe get yourself a little RTC swag, a little RTC merch, the store is still open. So go to Real Talk Christian
Podcast.com,
click store, then you'll take it over to our Redbubble account where you can purchase your own RTC merch.
That's right.
Anything else for these wonderful people, Fuller?
I don't think so.
I love it, guys. We love you guys. And until next time,
take it easy.